The older I grow, the more I gravitate toward this text. It seems to say it all. The gospel of self-help is popular today. It isn't producing much except money in the pockets of those who peddle it. It magnifies the effort of the human will toward self-improvement. If I could save myself, I wouldn't need Jesus. I really believe that a holy and loving God chose to suffer himself for our sins rather than to inflict suffering upon us. Why and how are the questions which demand my faith. This was done before we were born. Grace was accomplished without committees. I am saved by what God has done for me. Grace means all that Christ did for us at the cross and still does for us through the Holy Spirit. No one persuaded God. The action was spontaneous. It is the heart of God toward me. I can create no merit that demands such response. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It means that God is outgoing toward us. It is best expressed by the words, while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That is the sinner's God. That is the God of the Bible. You can't think of God without thinking of grace. Jesus told Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The Father abiding in me doeth his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus was gracious toward women, children, the sick, the poor, the handicapped. His supreme purpose was to show us what God is like, to give us a close-up view. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus exhibited an openness. He moved among mankind. He loved mankind. That is the way God is. It all gathered and abounded at the cross. There I see how much God loved me. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm saved because God wants me to be saved. It took me a long time to appreciate the strength of that. Nothing I could ever do would save me if God didn't want me saved. I can't file for credit. Credit is extended to me upon one character reference alone. Jesus of Nazareth, he vouches for me. He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath eternal life and cometh not into judgment. Christ was God's idea. Calvary is not the promotion of some ecclesiastical council. Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God has always been like this. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. My total responsibility is to receive. It is the gift of God. I have no congenital right to it. I am not confronted with it. I may even wish to avoid it. I cannot. Calvary is too big to be avoided. I may reject it, and that becomes my condemnation. God has offered to assume my fines and punishment, all of which are justly mine because I have broken the law. The punishment is beyond my assets. I have sinned and am no more worthy to be called a son. Sin takes all, mister. It doesn't leave you with a single virtue. And when he had spent all, that is what leads you to the pig pen. The present tense runs through this text. Ye are saved. It is the gift of God. Calvary is historic, but it is also current. I have so often noticed in published bank statements the same phrase. Current assets. That means the bank is ready for business the moment you apply. The assets of Calvary are more than sufficient to cover my need. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. No one need ever fear that a run on Calvary will exhaust the assets and close the offers of grace. like a perfect picture in a gallery. Salvation waits to be enjoyed. There is nothing that can be added. The masterpiece is complete. Whether you do or you don't doesn't change its perfection any more than my staying away from a Rembrandt or a Raphael subtracts from these masterpieces. I'll tell you this from Paul's own testimony. He was never satisfied until he was satisfied in Jesus. He was one unhappy Jew. Until that experience, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, and I do count them but refuse that I may gain Christ. Paul had given it a try. He had accomplished the maximum effort to experience an inner peace. He did his best to earn a standing that would rate before God. All his effort to be good resulted in sham. I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, and the grace of our Lord Jesus abounded exceedingly. I don't manufacture grace. I do not create it by my acquiescence. I do not destroy it through my denial. It is simply there. Whatever your argument to the contrary, sir, God loves you. Yes, there are theological tangles. These are the tangles created by men who try to explain instead of trying to proclaim. I can't analyze to your satisfaction or to mine why God loves you. And I'll tell you this, the psychiatrist and the psychologist won't unravel it for you. You had better stay with the evangelist. The Scot said it well when he said, it's better felt than telt. Now, if you are made uncomfortable by old-fashioned phrases and the vivid imagery of hymns like there is a fountain filled with blood or other modes of expression which have in them figures of speech which seem distasteful either to your aesthetic or even to your moral sensibilities, look beyond them at what they seek to convey. That Christ alone made available a full redemption of forgiveness, cleansing, and restoration for all men. Nothing its equal, let alone better, has ever been produced. And that's what I say to a cocky, impressionistic, modern liberalism. Produce, mister, a satisfactory substitute. Geaty said it well. He said that the church must never turn to adjust her compass at the cross. I know this, when I set my bearings there, I am never lost. The second part of this text deals with through faith. And this element is absolutely vital to my salvation. It is not faith which saves me, but grace. This grace is not the creation of our faith any more than electricity is the creation of the wire. Through faith. It is the carrier. I appropriate, I accept, I furnish the conduit. I must exercise choice. I do this with breathing, eating, drinking, education, marriage. The list grows. Calvary is not forced on me any more than bread is forced on me. Both are a savor of life unto life or death unto death. If I partake, I live. If I reject, I perish. The bread doesn't change, I change. What then is the nature of the faith which can channel the grace which saves? It is assent, but it is more than assent. Assent is intellectual. Paul describes it. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There is something more involved than reason. There is will. It involves yieldedness, a leap toward God, a surrender to a hunger that can't be stifled or erased by failure, anger, or disillusionment. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my Father and will say him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Now, faith is attitude. It is wanting to do something, and it has that strength sufficient to employ the grace of God to human need. Yet all God needs is a gesture. It's like the stock market or an auction. The platform scans the audience for the slightest indication. That nod, that lift of the finger which say, yes, it is that yes that God requires. It may be a tear. It may be the bended knee. It may be a whisper. It may be a line of a song, but it says, I mean it. I'm committed. I have made up my mind. The platform doesn't need a blizzard. When I am weak, then am I strong. Now, I'll tell you this. Faith is a look, a steady, unswerving look, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. I'll make it if I keep looking. I believe I'm stronger in faith now than when I first started looking toward Jesus. I know this. I fail when I take my eyes from Jesus and place them on men. But as I keep looking, I see more and more glorious truths and benefits Calvary has obtained for me. So start looking. Faith will grow. And God will honor your intention. He moves toward you faster than you can ever move toward him. You'll enjoy the robe and the ring and the shoes long before you understand the problems and the nastiness of elder brothers who appear more interested in division and segregation than they do welcoming. So look at Jesus. Accept him for what he is, divine, the only begotten Son of God. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Rest your soul upon Jesus. Yes, faith appropriate. Grace and faith, that is the combination. He must keep giving. I must keep receiving. It is constant like breathing. By grace, through faith, by grace, through faith. Faith is that heart action that keeps pumping the blood, the life into every pore and cell. And there is never a moment when the exercise of faith is not necessary anymore. And there can be a moment when your heartbeat is not necessary. So now, look at Calvary and ask yourself, what is there for me on that center cross? And then you will find the answer. I did. So many among us feel the need of help. Let's express ourselves as Martin Luther did. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for ye at all. So come with us to the restricted entrance. Some are severely emotionally disturbed. They must discover strength. The guilty cannot go on as they have. The burden of unworthiness becomes monstrous. Some are lonely beyond description. Death has issued a warrant for a loved one. These must be comforted. There isn't anything better than the long, long altar. I find a friend. This friend is neither too busy or too exhausted to hear an answer. So, come with me to Jesus. Master Redeemer, we're so thankful for thy presence, and we're not ashamed to lean. We come in confession, repentance, faith, and covenant to do thy will on earth as it is done in heaven. We have not always done so, and we're so sorry. We pray for government. Place it in the hearts of good men to stand for office and good people to stand with them. Close the wounds of the grieving. Alter the course of those who have met misfortune. And now we thank thee for thy understanding and the loyalty with which thou dost remain by our sides. Thou art the only begotten Son of God. Amen.